Maybe we could sneak in a super quick threesome before we leave. Is there any such thing as a quick threesome? We should try it out for science.
Good start. All
Thank
right.
You. Thank you.
Coming in hot. Come here, bonded. Get that wet pussy on my face. I want your cum running down my chin.
That was Griffin
Shore, our king.
What a training
hero.
He really likes pussy perfume. Specifically on his face.
I'm sorry,
I think that's nasty.
Do you think it's the same thing as like people on the internet, specifically men on the internet, wanting to buy women's underwear that is used?
Or buying their fucking bath water?
Yeah.
I should start selling my bath water.
What is that about? I know. I should. The last 4 years, cha-ching. I could have had an income.
I know. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. Then it's like, what do they do with it? Like, do they?
But do you need to know?
Do they just?
They drink it.
They just look at it.
they bath. They take a bath in it, and they make sure that you're there.
It's a little test tube of bath water.
Oh, they collect it. Just like they collect women's hair. It's for murderers and stalkers.
Like a serial killer.
Yeah.
Hot.
There is a book for that.
Oh boy.
Well, those are our quotes from Tragic Bonds.
Book five of six in the Broken Bond series. But before we get into it, Haley, as per usual, what the fuck has been up with us?
Well, yesterday we had a fun outing.
We did. Yeah. We actually did an outing where we left our apartment.
Yeah, if you know us at all, which you don't because we don't leave. we are very introverted and we like to stay at home a lot because home's comfy.
Home.
Plus, like, COVID, you know, they made us stay at home and now I'm, like, used to being at home and it's, like, hard to...
I mean, I was this way before COVID.
I was too, but I'm just saying.
Let's not lie to ourselves.
Yeah, for real.
You know, people, because I'm technically on my spring break, people are, like, off traveling the world, going to Europe, going to all these things. And I'm just like, ugh, it sounds like so much work.
To be honest, I would love to do those things if I had someone to do it with and I had the funds to do it.
Yeah. And it's just, like, for me, like, if I have one break off school, what did I say? One break?
Yeah.
1 week? Like, going to Europe, those are long trips. And
you need
those
a week.
I need a break from the vacation.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that. Like, I think it has to be longer than a week that you have off. Like, maybe like a Christmas break kind of thing where 1 week is something. Or a short thing, like a 3-day cruise.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I know.
Maybe one day. Maybe one day. Okay, but listen. So what did we do yesterday, Haley?
We went to a nice museum. It wasn't just a museum because it was immersive. Not.
It sure was.
Love that word, because that means I don't have to just read. Look.
I'm not huge on just...
There were some... Like, I have some museum experiences that are fun, but it's, like, usually it just is, like, a one part of the museum that...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something was
so
cool.
Random.
Yeah.
It's a memory I have of, like, my high school theater trip. We went to New York. And there was a museum we went to. I think it was like Museum of Art. I don't know, some shit like that. You think I'd remember? I don't. There was this like little love seat that was made of dicks.
What?
Yeah. It was interesting being on a high school trip.
I'm gonna guess it was the Museum of Modern Art because
Probably.
That's the big one that
yeah,
you
that
get.
Sounds funny.
Yeah. That's interesting, especially I'm assuming that your theater teacher either was supportive of it or was very disturbed by it.
You know, theater teachers are always very chill.
Yeah.
I feel like. So he's just like, all right. And move on. And of course, you know, there's high school boys on the trip. They're like, penis.
Yeah. Well, see, that's a fun story about a museum. Did you ever watch Night at the Museum?
Fuck yeah,
yeah.
I watched Night at the Museum.
It was a great movie.
We should add that to our movie list. Because
we really
that
should.
Is so good.
It was. It really was.
Anyway.
Yeah, we went to a museum, but it was immersive. And it was a color experience, if you will.
It was a lot of fun at the beginning, and there was treats throughout. So we started off with some jelly beans. Twas delicious. And then they had like stations where you take photos.
Yeah, it's a selfie museum.
It was a selfie museum, but it was so much fun. What was your favorite part?
Well,
obviously, I know what mine is. And that was at the end.
I truly loved when they made me draw your face.
Oh my god. Tell them about that. Yeah, it's so cute.
They had a little, like, basically each room, like a museum.
I know, we're explaining this so well.
It's a different immersive event. And this one was, you sit across from each other like you're in prison and you talk through the phone. It was pretty cute. And then they make you do these little activities. And it, one of them was, you have to look at your partner and stare at their face, and you don't get to look down at your paper. You have to draw their face without lifting your pencil. So one line. And of course it was disturbing at the end, but it was fun.
Yours stayed
in the fucking lines. Yeah.
You went out of the box.
You had two different sized ears and they were not connected to anything.
They weren't ears. That was your hair.
No, on my, like my picture.
Oh. I was like, ma'am.
No.
It was super fun. And then I think my favorite part was at the end. It was just this ginormous ball pit.
Yeah.
And it was like an astronaut, like outer space theme. And it was like ginormous. And just going in and falling and struggling and get up and taking fun photos. I think that was my favorite.
Dude, it was so wild. Like, I don't even remember the time, like the last time I've been in a ball pit.
Yeah.
Because usually I'm like, that's disgusting.
Yes. And it's for like 5 year olds.
Yes. And they're disgusting. Yeah. But this was more of an adult ball pit, if you will.
Yeah. I like the, like, immersive experiences like that that make you feel like a kid again.
Yeah. Because
it's like, why, you know, I'm in my late 20s, but I love fucking going in the ball pit. And
I know, me too.
Being silly and putting on glasses.
Right.
And looking at, you know, there was one where you put headphones on and then it's like a little dance floor and you dance. Yeah. And that was so fun.
Yeah. It was. It was really cool. Like, I've never done something like that.
And we were there for, like, 2 hours.
It was worth it. I really think so. And then there was a really, obviously, there's a museum at the end. Or, I mean, a gift shop at the end. But it was, like, it was really cute shit.
It was really cute. I almost never get things. But I got this rainbow pot plant. And I already planted, planted one of my pothos. It's at the bottom
shelf. Of course it is. Oh, I love it. It is a pop of color.
It's so fun.
Yeah, very it was colorful. Great. It was great. I have no complaints.
Me neither.
And then after the jelly beans, we had the macaroons.
I love that shit. We had saltwater taffy. That was fun. And then at the end, we had this like astronaut frozen ice cream.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I love that
lavender
shit.
Ice cream.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, would recommend, but we're not saying what it's called. So
go out and be a kid. That's what I say.
Do it.
It's so much fun. If only I was 20 years younger, you know?
You know, and high five to us for going out.
I know. I was so, like...
And getting some pictures, proud. Because sometimes you go out and you don't even remember it. You know what I mean?
Oh, but now I never take photos.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of photos.
We did. And that'll be fun to look back on.
It will.
Well, that was a lot of chit-chat. Should we get into the book?
Duh. Let's fucking roll the intro.
Welcome to Fae Babes, the podcast where we delve into the enchanting world of fantasy romance.
Join us as we explore magical realms, fall in love with fae daddies, and tell you what the fuck is happening in these stories.
So grab your favorite book, a cozy blanket, and let's embark on a magical journey together.
Because who needs reality when you can lose yourself in a world with magic and shit?
We're back.
Okay, guys, buckle up. Today we're talking about Tragic Bonds, book 5 of 6 of the Broken Bond series by
Jay Bree.
Now, let's fucking dive into it.
Yeah, let's
quick recap. What happened at the end of book 4?
Yeah, so the Bond crew, Ollie's Bond crew, was at a resistance camp, of course, like they always
indeed.
Are. And they were trying to, you know, kill some resistance gifted people. But unfortunately, our boy Knox took the hit and he got dead. He dead.
He sure did.
Yeah.
It was Knox, Griffin, and North went into the tent. Ollie was telling them don't, but they were stupid, went in anyway. And we know that Knox died because he was funneling like his So Ollie was funneling power into all three of them, but Knox was refusing the power and letting it only go to North. Mm-hmm. So that's why Knox died.
Because, you know, still, Knox and Ollie are not...
bonded.
Yeah, they're not bonded, and they just don't like each other.
Yeah, Knox is still a hot piece of shit.
Yeah.
So, Knox is dead.
Yep.
And that's where we fucking leave off in the last book, Ollie saying, like, I feel his life leave his body.
So to start this book, we start off with a hot prologue.
Woo! Yeah, I forgot that we don't immediately jump back in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we, I mean, listen, Jay Bree has been hinting heavily that Knox has some fucked up shit in his past.
Yeah.
Well, buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, and trigger warning, because this shit's gonna get rough.
Oh, yeah. It's super, super rough. He is damaged mentally, for sure, and it's totally understandable. So we start off with North's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He has been away from Knox for 6 years after, essentially, North's dad killed his mother, one of his bonded that we know of.
Yes.
And so Knox's mom took Knox away, and they live alone together in this decrepit house.
Actually, before Knox's dad killed North's mom.
But so the uncle brought him over.
Yeah, okay. So
I thought he was dead.
No.
Oh.
Not yet. North, we get into it a little bit later. But so it is North and Knox share a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two different moms. Maybe you're right.
Well, his uncle is with North, and they go to basically check on Knox.
You're right. But do we know why? I don't think we might not get into it into this book. Why North's
it comes dad, up. It comes up
in this book. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get into why. Why did North's dad kill the mom, his bonded? Yeah, I don't know.
That's you're so right. Oh, shit.
Okay, so the uncle, William, who we know, like, currently, he basically raised North and Knox.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of the start of that. So they show up to this decrepit house, and I think her name is Emmeline or something.
Yeah, something like that.
That's Knox's mom, and she's really fucked up. You know, she's got some mental issues. She needs help, right?
Mm-hmm.
North is 16 at this time, and he goes into the house, and he's looking for Knox, and he goes upstairs to this attic, and he sees some of the shadow pups that Knox has, and he notices that he's really, really well-trained with his shadow magic, unlike North.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because North's is magic. They have the same, the shadow pups, mm-hmm. but his is much more wild, less controlled. Knox is, like, pristinely, like, perfectly managed.
Yes. He has so much control over his magic.
Which is weird.
Yeah. And so Knox is not talking. He's, like, in the corner of this dark attic. And North is like, hey, can I come over and talk to you? And it's really... You could tell that he's being abused. I mean, he's like 6 years old, and he looks starved.
Knox's mom has purposely been keeping him away from North and William. And even William, the uncle, was saying, like, North, be on your best behavior. Like, she's letting us over today, but, like, don't start shit because North doesn't like her.
Right.
And we'll see why.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's abused. He's been starved. He has bruises on him. And finally, William and Emmeline come up to the attic, and she's like, get away from him, you know, you're not taking him. Mm-hmm. And immediately North, after seeing Knox like that, was like, we're not leaving him here. And William sees him, and then immediately Emmeline says to Knox something wild.
Well, no, she doesn't. So she's like, come on, Knox, come here. And he said,
yeah, he says it.
Yes, bonded.
Yeah, he calls his mom bonded. Now recap on what bonded means. God. Recap on what bonded means, please. It means it's implying a romantic relationship.
Sexual.
And sexual. Because you are bonds and then you're bonded. The progression is sexual. Oh my God. He's sexually abused by his mother.
Yeah, we learn he's been repeatedly raped by his mom. He also is, of course, emotionally abused, but also physically. Like, he has broken fingers.
Oh,
and
God,
that's why fingers. Like, recap back to, I forget which book it was, but when Ollie healed his fingers, he was like, these are 20-year-old injuries. Like, and he's pissed that she did that because it was a reminder. Like, he purposely never got him healed. Because, one, his mom wouldn't let him get it healed. Yeah. But it was a reminder of what he endured. Because I think it was also, he was, like, being physically punished if he wasn't doing certain things.
Yeah.
So, when that comes out of Knox's mouth, North explodes.
Yeah.
And he is able to get him out of that situation. Mm-hmm. But the damage has been done.
So... North ends up, from that violent passion, ends up killing his mom. Yeah. So Emmeline is now dead. One's sad about her. Yeah, she deserved that shit.
She's horrible. That was probably the nicest way she could have gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, I knew North was going to have some sort of fucked up past, but Jesus fucking Christ. When I read that, I was like, these books don't fucking play. Yeah. They don't play when it comes to trauma.
I was not expecting that.
It reminds me a lot of, like, Zodiac Academy. They don't fucking fuck around with the reader's emotions do to the characters.
The bully romance, too. Like, they do,
It's just, wow.
Woo!
So, yeah, that was just a little flashback.
Back to present day.
Knox is dead. And everyone's very distraught.
Mm-hmm.
Ollie is, like, standing over his body, but even in death is being very respectful because he never wanted to be touched by her, so she's not touching him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, losing her shit.
Yeah.
And the bond in her head, like, her god bond, is saying, like, get it together.
Yeah.
Like, we're running out of time.
Right.
And Ollie's like, the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, we ran out of time.
He's dead. And the god bond says, the vessel is broken. The bond does not.
Whoa!
What?
So
then, Ollie looks crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. because what does she do?
She's like, she turns to her bonded and she's like, "You need to get me to Felix immediately."
Yeah.
Who is a healer?
Mm-hmm.
And they all look at her. I mean, North is distraught. He can't communicate right now. But the rest of them are like, "Dude, he can't do anything at this point." They're trying to, like, you know, tell her, "You're in denial." You know what I mean?
But yeah, like, he's gone.
But she's like, "No, you got to listen to me. Like, I know what I'm talking about."
Yeah, and it's so sad. So they get Kieran to come in, who's the transporter. And she's like, "Please take me to Felix, please." And he's like, "Ollie, he's gone." And she's like, "I need you to fucking shut up and do what I fucking say." And he's like, "Okay, I got you." Because I love Kieran and Ollie's friendship.
Yeah.
Like, he, I think at this point, is like, yeah, absolutely, Knox is dead. But I think he's also like, you know what? If Ollie's saying this shit, like,
he trusts
I'm
her
trusting that.
After their trauma in the camp.
Their trauma bonding. Yeah. All these poor babies.
I know.
Every single one of these characters have had such a fucked up trauma that I just wish I could set them down and give them each a hug.
I know. A free therapy session, at least.
You're okay, baby.
You're okay, and I love you.
I love you. Trauma and all. Anyway, so they end up taking Ollie and Knox's dead body to Felix. And so I think at this point he's in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
And he is, Felix is a healer in training.
Mm-hmm.
So I think of it like he's us. He's a medical student.
Oh,
he's
I was thinking he was a resident, at least.
Oh,
like,
you
I thought.
Think?
Well,
because it's college.
Oh, that's
but
true.
Maybe it is.
Do you think they're more advanced because he actually has healing powers? Medical students are trash.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe college is their medical school. And then
maybe it's like Canada, where you go straight from high school to med school.
Dude, I wish.
Right?
Like, I studied theater in college.
Yeah.
Obviously, I loved it, but.
Go Canada.
Anyway, we're not bitter med students. It's fine. Anyway, so Felix is still in training,
mm-hmm.
and the people who is like the head honcho and the boss, I'm thinking medical director,
yes.
or program director, whatever, says,
mm-hmm.
I'm not allowing you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And Ollie's like, I'll fucking kill you.
And his name, do you remember what the director's name is? His name is Payne.
Oh, yeah, P-A-Y-N-E.
Yeah.
I
was like, that's
unfortunate
hilarious.
Last name.
Dr. Payne.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Sure enough,
mm-hmm.
that is unfortunato.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, she's like, no, Felix is a homie. He said, no, I'm going to do it. You can't tell me.
Yeah.
And so Ollie, essentially, her bond is the one in charge. And Felix, she says to Felix, like, heal the vessel. So, like,
yeah,
Knox's body, even though he wasn't like physically damaged. I think like healing the internal maybe physical damage or
some magic shit.
And then Ollie's bond takes her soul,
yeah,
and the god bond, and essentially deep dives into Knox's body, yeah, with his soul, because Ollie's bond took Knox's soul when he died.
So she's like, she has consumed it temporarily. It's, yeah, like in her, his soul is inside of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some wild.
And there
shit.
Are some repercussions to this, because now they can kind of communicate a little bit on accident.
Yeah. So essentially, it's Ollie's god bond, Ollie's soul, and Knox's soul are all in Knox's body now.
Mm-hmm.
And something happens.
Yeah.
And that is, we know this entire series, Ollie and Knox were never meant to be in the way that they were.
Mm-hmm.
Knox had too much trauma. Ollie had her own trauma. Like, it wasn't working. So the author essentially said, what can I do to make it happen? And this is what she did. So as they're, like, soul bonding, yeah, essentially, without being, like, fully bonded, they each experience each other's lives and specifically traumas.
Yeah. Through the eyes of the one who experienced it. So it's very, I imagine it to be just super overwhelming, like you're experiencing it for yourself. And so Ollie watches all of the prologue that we just talked about,
yep,
and even more of Knox's torment by his own mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then
she watches all of it, not just one,
yes,
moment.
His whole life. And then she sees North killing his mom and, like, yeah,
yeah,
that's a lot. And then, of course, Knox, who, you know, again, hates her, right,
mm-hmm,
is finally going to have some fucking empathy,
yeah,
because he sees what none of the other bonds have seen or know about at this,
yeah,
point. And that is when Ollie and her own family, her parents and her mom and dad's, were in the car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not because of the car accident that they passed.
Yeah.
It was because of her.
That was the first time Ollie's soul rendering abilities came out. And when the car accident happened, her bond got scared, essentially, and killed her mom and dad's.
Yeah,
so
she killed her fucking parents.
That.
Yep. And now he realizes, like, he has a basic understanding. Oh, and not only does he see that, but he sees her being tortured with Silas Davies.
Yeah, for 2 years.
Yeah, and he goes, experiences all of her pain, and, like, now he kind of understands this whole thing of, like, he was torturing her,
mm-hmm,
to get information about the bonds, and, like, she was just trying to protect them all.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's crazy because they both hide their trauma a lot and they don't share it,
mm-hmm,
and this is literally forcing each other to be like, okay, I'm,
yeah,
sharing it,
yeah,
and you have to witness,
yeah,
all of it. It was very, I did not know what the author was gonna do to get these two together. This is not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But low-key loved it.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, of all the ways to do that, like,
because you really can't, like, you can try to empathize with people, you know,
mm-hmm,
but you really don't know what they feel unless you experience it.
And they both experienced each other's traumas.
Yeah, it's fucked, dude.
Oh, my God. I was like, wow, what a way to start this book.
Whew.
Yeah. So, you know, roughy toughy. Mm. But, you know, they're able to bring Knox back. They both wake up. They're in, I think, Ollie's room. Someone else's room. And they're laying in bed together because they had them, like, be physically close,
mm-hmm,
to each other to help with the healing process or whatever. And Knox wakes up. And I think the other bonds are there, but they're asleep. And he essentially takes Ollie and,
yeah,
goes to his room and locks the door.
Because now that he basically is attached to her,
yeah,
he's like, she's mine.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because, like, how do you get past all the shit that he's been doing the last couple,
yeah,
books? And, of course, once the other bonds realize that he took her to his room and locked the door, they're freaking out.
Specifically Alice.
Hurt her.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's okay. It's good. I just want to talk to Knox.
Yeah. Because remember, she can telecommunicate with everybody.
Yeah. Who is she bonded with Gabe at this point?
Yeah.
She is.
She's bonded with everyone but him.
Everyone but Knox. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Oh, wait. I think she is bonded with Knox.
Oh, they fucked. Yeah. With the supervision of others. With the
supervision of Knox.
So they are technically bonded, but they weren't in love or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like this really nice scene where they get to, like, have a moment and talk. And, you know, Ollie knows that she experienced Knox's memories, but she doesn't know that he experienced hers. So when he brings it up, I think she just has such a big fear of, like, especially her killing her parents and, like, all this guilt she has, that, one, she's afraid she won't ever be loved, and two, now that she is loved by people, she's afraid she'll lose that love when they find out the truth. And so she essentially has a panic attack. Mm-hmm. And Knox calms her down.
Yeah. Crazy. She is so feared of being told that she's a monster and hated by everyone.
Yeah.
That she just, like, she never expected to reveal this secret.
And it's because she views herself as a monster and she hates herself. So it's, oh, wow. It's like, wow.
Yeah. So they finally have, like, consensual and romantic. Wanted romantic sexual time.
Yeah.
Even and though he's an aggressive lover.
With his shadows.
He's still a dark boy.
He is still a dark, twisted boy. Yeah. Because a big thing for him is, like, he always needs to be in control. So it turns into a lot of, like, BDSM type shit. Yeah. It's very dominating.
But meanwhile,
North, he's having a rough time. I thought I guess it makes sense, but I thought when, like, Knox was alive, came back to life, that North would have felt better, but no.
And he says eventually that he was so overwhelmed by not only the death, but the fact that he was supposed to be the target. Yeah. North was supposed to be the one that was killed.
That was who they were channeling.
Yeah, because he's technically the strongest of the bonded.
Mm-hmm.
And then Knox basically intervened. And so he was just so traumatized by the whole thing.
North is having a really rough time. Mm-hmm. He's, like, drinking himself to death. And also, one of the things that happened is when Ollie saved Knox, there was a period of time where she was dead. For, like, a brief second, all of her bonds could feel that she was gone.
Dang, that's
so
awful.
He lost Knox and Ollie, and it was Ollie trying to save Knox.
Right.
Even though she didn't have a super close relationship with him, he knew, like, part of the reason she was saving him was for North.
Yeah.
So North is having a rough time. He's drinking himself to death. He's having a hard time.
Sleeping in his office. Yeah.
He's just, you know, I think this is a moment where his tough guy act just breaks.
Yeah.
And he needs a minute.
Yeah. Up next, Griffin's mom and dad arrive at the sanctuary.
And aren't they, like, super nice and loving and supportive?
You would hope so, but no, absolutely not.
Because there's no loving and supportive parents,
yeah,
I think, in this entire book.
Griffin is, like, what I imagine to be, like, this, like, this is kind of, like, for me, the stereotype of, like, a military family. Like, the dad is super tough and strict, and he's called the general because he's in the military, I guess. And then Griffin is also, like, really has a lot of expertise in, like, military efforts and whatever. And then the mom is kind of, I feel like she loves Griffin, but she's married to him. So, like, it's a tough situation.
Yeah, her loyalties, ultimately, she's a good housewife.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's with the general.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they show up. He's an asshole. Now, let's just recap. The sanctuary is an entire fucking city built by North and his money to protect gifted.
Yes.
Including high tier and the, quote, low tier families that no one wanted to protect.
Yeah.
So this is his fucking place.
Mm-hmm.
The general comes in. He's an old school tag team leader. And we essentially, find out that he moved away and essentially went to, like, a different, you know, city, state, whatever, because Griffin was going to outrank him.
He was very insecure.
And he was a better tag team leader than he was, so he, of course, just moved so he couldn't be, like, compared to him.
Because he's more powerful than old dad, and dad doesn't like that.
No, he doesn't. So that's just the vibe of the general.
He doesn't. He also, the general, hates the Dravens because he, you know, is stigmatized towards the death-dealing magic and all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny because Ollie's trying to play nice, but she brings out the puppies. And the general's, like, losing his shit. And she's like, what? What's wrong?
Yeah.
You're scared of some little shadow pups?
Yeah. And he's like, those are an abomination to everyone. Yeah, and
just like, shut up, yeah, bro. So they do end up telling the general and his squad, I guess, that the resistant has been messing with the blood test. And you know how everyone hates the death dealers and they're like, oh, it's going to go wild and kill everyone? Turns out that's why Daddy Draven, North and Knox's dad, was able to kill North's mom, is because they weren't actually bonded.
It was all a fucking trick by the resistance. And that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they weren't bonded, but she was truly North's mom.
Yeah.
Just still fucked up.
When do we find out why he killed her? Is that later in this book?
Well, they... What are you saying? They bring it up now, right?
Oh, now they do?
Well...
I don't remember. You want to just talk about it?
Yeah,
I
let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Let's just talk. Okay, so North's mom did not have a good relationship with Knox's mom.
Right.
But we find out that North's mom knew what Knox's mom was doing to Knox pretty much the whole time.
Yeah.
And was complacent with it.
Yeah.
Never stepped in, never told their dad or anything. So when North and Knox's dad found out what was being done to Knox and the fact that North's mom was complacent with it and never said anything, mm-hmm, and just allowed it to happen, he killed her.
Yeah.
Which, bye, good riddance.
And I think the only reason he was able to do that was because they weren't bonded.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they understood that at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's interesting that they didn't really question that. Like, the dad, you know, it's like, why was I able to kill her? You know, like,
yeah,
it's interesting. But yeah, it's, yeah, really shitty.
It's pretty fucked up.
It's really fucked up. It's really fucked up.
So sayonara to those two ladies, honestly.
Yeah. So now that they know that the resistance is tampering with the bonds, you know, it's like, you got to question everything now. Like, repeat the blood tests, everyone, because, yeah, I don't know if you're really my bond.
And that's what they start doing, but they have to do it secretly and through this, like, one agency, because they don't want the resistance catching wind.
Yeah.
Now they know. You know, they're trying to get any headway that they can.
And Griffin mentions to Ollie that because he knew that his parents were coming here, they were in the north where Ollie was originally from, mm-hmm, the area. And so he, like, kind of inquired about her family's remains, mm-hmm, and was able to get their ashes for her, and I guess his family brought them with them. So now she has her parents' remains.
Yeah. Yeah. And she decides she wants to bury them in the sanctuary,
yeah,
which I think is really, mm-hmm, sweet. Another thing going on, Felix, even though he fucking saved North's life, is on trial, essentially, at his medical school, and they're debating kicking him out.
Yeah.
And he essentially was like, well, I'm debating even staying. This is the kind of institution you run.
Yeah.
Which, good for you, Felix. Right. Get out.
Get out while you can. Yep. Moreover, there is a new prisoner brought in.
New prisoner alert.
New prisoners brought in by the TAC team, and his name is Jericho.
Jericho, is coming down.
Turns out he is one of Atlas's sister Aurelia's bonded.
Yes, and he is the only bonded who actually loves Aurelia.
Right.
I'm thinking this is the only true bond.
Yeah.
And the other bonds aren't real, because the other bonds, like, physically, emotionally, sexually abuse her.
Mm-hmm.
And Jericho truly loves. So yeah. He says, listen, I'm handing myself in. I want asylum. I'll give you information, mm-hmm, but I want to be with my bond.
Mm-hmm. And they want to flee.
Yeah, he wants to get him out, which, fair enough.
Yeah. But the Ollie's bonded aren't really, like, trusting him, mm-hmm, too much right now. And they're about to be like, you know what? Fuck you. We're not trusting you, any of your information. And then he goes in like, wait, but...
But wait, there's more.
Yeah.
For only $5.99 yeah, a month. And he said, hey, I got some hot goss,
yeah,
about the resistance.
Mm-hmm. he'll get everyone's attention because he brings up the God Bonds. And he says that God Bonds eventually kill their hosts.
Yeah.
And they go, what now? They do a double take.
Akaskis?
So in Ollie's mind, immediately she's like questioning things, right? And her bond comes forward and is like, don't believe anything he says. Like, this has happened in the past, but we were just looking for the perfect vessels and the perfect time. Like, we're not going to do that. Like, she, you know, trying to convince her, like, this is bullshit.
I thought it was funny because she even said, like, listen, yeah, I can't choose what body I'm in. Some of the people I'm in are fucking stupid. Some are assholes. Some want to use the power. And she's like, but I promise you, you're the vessel I've been waiting for. I'm not going to kill you. Yeah. But yes, I've killed them in the past. Yeah. And then we also find out that the Resistance is doing breeding experiments. Oh, right. So the Void Eyes, or aka the God Bonds, they essentially were trying to selectively breed people to make sure that the God Bonds were born in the Resistance. Which,
how does that work?
I don't know how that works. I guess they just breed people that they, like, maybe in the past their ancestors have had God Bonds. They're trying to do the mental
math. All right, well.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So it's, oh shit, this is this is a little bit deeper than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more, it's like when you come across a conspiracy, yeah, and you're like, oh shit, this is level 10.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like two levels.
It's deep. It gets deep. There's just layers here. Mm-hmm. Moving on, Ollie.
Oh wait, at this point, who all has Void Eyes? So we know North, Nox, and Ollie are the three with Void Eyes.
And...
not Atlas, not Gabe, not... who else is there? Is that it? No,
I think Gabe has, because he's already shifted into...
oh, yeah, he's shifted into the dragon, right? I think, in the last book.
Okay.
And when he shifts into the dragon, it's Black Eyes. Yeah. So we know it's Gabe, North, Nox, Ollie.
Yeah.
And we can only assume Atlas and Griffin.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we will see.
I don't know.
After that, Ollie is being comforted by her boys Gabe and Atlas, and they get some
threesome.
They get some threesome time.
Yes, we love it. Good for you guys.
They fall asleep.
Love, love. Yes.
Ollie wakes up again in Gabe's dream because I forget what it's called, but
it's
she can
astral
dream hop.
Astral projection.
Projection.
What'd you say? Astral.
Astral.
Ostrich projection.
She is in Gabe's dream, and she finally gets to meet his dragon in the dream, and she pets it, and it's all, like, you know, it's cute.
Mine.
And Gabe's like, be careful, you know, you don't know what he... and she's like,
it's
fine.
It's just a baby. Yeah. I love, like, she is 0% afraid of any of these bonds, and they're all afraid that they're going to hurt her, and she's like, no, it's just a baby.
Yeah.
That's how I'd be, honestly. We love it. And I love the dragon is, like, a man of few words.
Yes.
The only words he says is, like, mine.
Must protect.
Must protect.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He's cute.
I don't think he says that, but that's what I imagine.
After she wakes up, she's like, you know what? I haven't seen North in a while.
Yeah.
He's been sleeping in his office, and I'm, like, worried about him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to deal with that.
Yeah. So it's nice. She goes and comforts him.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, you know, the big alpha male. Always the leader, and you know, it's like his moment of where he needs a little pick me up,
mm-hmm.
and she's there for him.
Yeah.
So they essentially say, you know what? The Resistance has been fucking us over. We've just been on the defense this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to fucking go on the offense and take care of these motherfuckers. And now you think everyone would be on the same page, but guess what? The general is not. He's like, no. I mean, he honestly seems like he's just being an asshole to be an asshole.
Yeah, he just wants to antagonize everything they want.
It's like, are you, like, do you actually think this is a bad plan, or are you just not wanting to say it's a good plan because your son thought of it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
100%. He's so petty.
You know what I mean? So he's a massive asshole.
They plan to go to the wastelands where all that shit went down,
mm-hmm.
because they want to go see if there's more, you know, gifted they need to rescue or more gifted they need to take out, the
mm-hmm.
Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So they go, and then, you know, Dragon Boy Gabe shifts, and he's doing his flying and shit.
Yeah. August, the North puppy brings Ollie a gifted as essentially as a treat and is like, I know you'll find this sole delicious. Because as a reminder, Ollie eats souls.
Yeah. She eats a lot of souls and she basically wipes them out.
Yeah, what's funny though is initially she doesn't just immediately wipe them out, even though of course it'd be very helpful. She's like, these are such weak gifteds. Like, I'm not even fucking tempted to kill them. And people are like, come on. And I think that's what August was like, look at this tasty one. Now take out the rest.
Her bond is weird.
Fine, whatever.
Yeah.
She likes the other bonds being put to work.
Yes. I think the bonded.
Yeah. She's like, work for me, daddies. Show me what you got, big boys. Yeah.
And they do. They do. they show her.
So what is a wasteland? Do you remember?
Essentially, like,
it's like an a magical area, pocket.
Yeah, it's like an area that is used for the gifted to battle, essentially. Like, it's trash earth.
But it's like a little magic pocket. So just think, like, you're in a city, and then it's just, like, this little magic pocket, and then you're transported into the wasteland. But when they are able to take down the wasteland, they just pop back into the wherever they were, which is just a fucking random-ass town. And, of course, the random-ass town is like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And they bring out them guns, and they shoot Atlas.
Yeah. And he's, like, the shield boy. So it's like, how did you let that happen?
Yeah.
Dude, come on. That's your one power.
Yeah. Well, Atlas isn't harmed, but he is shot. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Gabe turns into a dragon. They all think that Ollie is going to lose her shit because Atlas was shot, but it turns out it's Gabe that loses his shit. Yeah.
Which is so cute because they're BFFs.
I know. He's like, my bro.
Bromance.
Not my bro. And Ollie's able to calm him down and get him to shift back after they get to safety.
So Nox realizes that he's going to have to deal with these townspeople. But he doesn't want Ollie to have to deal with that. So she and basically everyone but North and Griffin are just gonna go back to the sanctuary and chill, and then they are gonna set up a meeting with these people to figure out like why or like what to do with these non-gifted, because there's this I don't know if we've introduced them already, probably the senator of the old or the
non-gifted.
Her name is Senator Oldham. So they're gonna have a meeting about all this shit. They get back to the sanctuary, things get back to normal, you know. And they start tax training again, as usual. And,
there's more fucking.
Yeah, there's more fucking, you know, shit goes on. She eventually, Zoe, her old nemesis, they end up fighting and, you know, she kicks her ass. It's pretty funny.
Of course, Zoe was the one who was, like, cheated during one of the games, was kicked out. And then, of course, the general hired her.
Yeah. Petty.
And then Ollie is like, this isn't even challenging.
I'm fully bonded, bitch.
Yeah, I'm fully bonded, bitch. Come at me. So during the meeting with Senator Oldham, right now the only person who knows what happened to Ollie's parents is Nox.
Yeah.
And she's still very terrified of everyone finding out. North ends up finding out through Senator Oldham and like putting it together that Ollie's bond killed her parents.
Yeah.
And he brings it up to her and she loses her shit thinking that like he's not going to love her anymore. And he's like, no, like, that's not it at all. I just want to understand and, like, help. And
yeah.
Of course, I'm not judging
him. Right. We've all killed people we loved on accident.
Been there, done that, girl. Like, shit, you know? It happens to the best of us. What can you do? What can you do? Girl, I don't judge. It's pretty funny.
So she feels some safety with that. And then she ends up telling everybody, the rest of her bonded, at least. What happened, and they're very supportive. Like, they're shocked, but they're happy that she's feeling the willingness to open up to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice because, you know, life is a little bit normal in the sanctuary. More people are coming in as Griffin is checking them out, one of which is Gabe's uncle, who's a contractor. And so they get to do some more building, and it's cute because they're, like, building their own town.
Right.
Then, very interesting, Ollie notices something.
She gets a little glimpse. It's like one of those times where you're like, did I see that or am I crazy?
Griffin's void eyes.
Whoa.
But she's like, no, I must. Yeah, no, it was a trick of the light for sure.
And as the reader, we're like, okay, there's some void eyes.
Game. Yeah, all right, whatever. And she's like, I'm not going to say anything. I mean, it's nothing.
Keep that to myself.
It's
I'm not going to make everyone, you know, think I'm crazy.
Yeah. So now it's again time for them to go on the offense, and they're essentially trying to figure out which wasteland to go for next, because mm-hmm. they're trying to find the big honchos of the resistance. Yeah. You know, Atlas's dad, Silas Davies, right. all those big boys.
Yeah.
So they have a meeting, and they decide, you know what, we're going to go ahead and infiltrate the Alaskan wasteland. Mm-hmm. It's a bit farther, it's going to take a lot of resources, but this is our best bet. Yeah. We think this is where it's going to be. And what's interesting is the general, of course, is causing a scene and doesn't want to do it. And they're like, wait, remind me again, what's your, like, success rate?
Yeah.
How many survivors are you able to bring home? How many of the kids survive? He's like, it's hard, you know, like
20%. Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, with Ollie, mm-hmm. it's 100%, yeah. bitch. So how about you shut the fuck up? Like,
literally.
That's what really annoying about the general. Like, it's a dick measuring contest with other people's lives.
Yeah. And his dick is so small.
It's so small. Like, you need to whip out a microscope to see it.
Yeah.
Micro penis joke.
Yeah. So he gets shredded by Ollie.
Yeah.
And they kind of were like, yeah, we'll figure that out. They're going to plan to go to Alaska, essentially. Mm-hmm. And Knox on the opposite end is doing a lot of research with books and stuff that Ollie sometimes helps with, but he is reading about the gods, trying to figure shit out,
mm-hmm.
and
he's
learns.
He's the researcher
because he's the history teacher, basically, or whatever. Yeah. And he learns that something that they're curious about is that gods really can't be made.
Yeah.
And they're really just being woken up.
Yeah.
Because they were always there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you think about Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
He went his whole life without the void eyes mm-hmm. coming, and now it was woken up. It was Ollie's god bond woke him up.
Right.
And so it's like, things are lining up.
Mm-hmm.
Then kind of the next part is Atlas gets a text from his mom. It's pretty sussy. It's saying like, hey, I love you. Here's some locations of the resistance camp.
Mm-hmm.
Atlas is like, I believe her. Yeah. I think this is intel is good. Jericho even is like, yeah, you know, that's good intel. oh, I just saw your quote. and, you know, that's kind of going on in the background.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, because Atlas's mom, again, she's on the fence, you know. Like, she's part of the resistance 100%, but she loves Atlas and knows he isn't, so is also trying to protect him.
And I think in the last book we talked about that, we found out that on the low key, she was trying to help Ollie.
She was Ollie's, like, guardian angel, like, protecting her from stuff. But it wasn't because she liked Ollie.
Right.
It was just because of for Atlas.
Right. And her other bonded they were really hard to trust, you know, the resistance. And they're like, why would she betray her own husband and
mm-hmm.
all of her, you know, the people on her side? Like, I just don't, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's going on the side.
Yeah. So they end up going to the Alaskan camp. Is there anything there? I don't remember.
Yeah, like, the rest of this basically happens there.
Oh.
So they're at the Alaskan camp, they set up their own camp, and they're kind of scoping things out. And I think they know that there is like, some powerful gifted.
Oh, yes.
And
right.
So they're kind of just getting ready to infiltrate.
Yeah, they're not, like, in the camp.
Yeah, they're, like, setting up their own camp.
Oh, that's right,
Mm-hmm. While they're doing that, that's where my quote comes in.
About that pussy perfume.
Bro, they were all sleeping. So Ollie and her bonded were all sleeping in one tent. And Griffin is like, don't worry, I can put them to sleep, because he's a neuro.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's like, they won't hear. And he says that, and I'm just like, oh my god.
Oh gosh.
This is so bad.
We love Griffin.
Yeah.
But his eyes are black.
His eyes are confirmed to be void eyes. Yep.
And they're like, oh shit.
But Ollie still doesn't say anything at this point.
Oh my god, what a dummy.
Yeah.
What a dummy. Then we have this really sweet moment. At the camps, the, you know, washing situation, shower, is very similar to what it's at in the resistance, which is obviously a very traumatic experience for Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't want to go shower, But Knox, since he's seen all her memories and knows all her experiences, knows how difficult it is for her. So he goes with her to the shower and, like, helps her get through the trauma of it.
It was really nice.
I thought that was really sweet. Because they both, like, have seen all of each other's trauma, so they understand it a lot better than anyone else. And so they're able to be there for each other in ways that no one else is, which is really sweet.
Yeah. And then there's a little bit of, like, uproar at the camp, and then everyone's like, what the fuck's going on? And finally Ollie goes over to where this huge group is forming, and they find basically Atlas's parents. It's his dad, his mom, and then another bonded woman. They're all murdered hanging from a tree. And I think in the dad, it's carved into his skin, it says traitor.
Rough. And since they're resistance, everyone's like, we'll just fucking let them hang.
And they realize, at least Ollie's bonded group is like, okay, I guess that was true information.
Yeah.
That the mom, at least.
Oh, it's rough. But essentially, it's like they have a shield around their camp, and they're right outside the shield. So the people, the resistance came up right to the shield and put it there. And it's really sweet because Atlas and Gabe go out to get the bodies and dig graves to put them to rest.
And even Atlas, like, the whole time, he's like, you know, they fucking deserve this. They were resistance. They were, like, for what they did, they really, I mean, they didn't deserve being hung up like that, but they don't necessarily deserve to be buried respectfully and everything, but he still does it. He's, like, he's very, you know, what's the word? Like,
torn.
He's torn. He's torn.
Because, I mean, it's his parents. Yeah. And the thing that got him killed was Atlas's mom giving them information.
Yeah.
So it's a very difficult thing. Then we get another little mic drop. So Sawyer, so that's Sage's brother, he gets a mystery text.
He's the tech guy who does all the computer shit.
He is the tech guy. And the text says, the gods live among us.
And then I think Ollie's like, yeah, we already know that shit.
Yeah.
Knox has been researching this for a while. He's like, oh, well.
We don't know, bitch. Then, so we know Griffin has his void eyes. The only other person is Atlas. Well, guess what? His bond changes.
In the middle, or in the front of everybody at the camp.
I forgot.
Yeah.
What happens?
So, I forget why he changes, but essentially, he... It, like, his shifts, and he turns into the bond, you know, he's controlling them. And then, like, everybody's around, so they all see it, and they start to get really antsy about, like, what does this mean? Like, are we with the good guys still? Like, they start to freak out. And there's a lot of distrust going around, you know?
Oh, yeah, because it kind of tears up the camp where people are like, oh, I don't know if I trust them. Bruh, come on. People be dumb. Yeah. But now it's time to party. Just kidding. It's time to kill some resistance people. So they end up transporting into the resistant camp, and their main goal obviously is to find Silas Davies. He's not there right now, but who is there is Lydia, one of his bonds, and they're able to kill her. And I think I forget what her power is. I think it's like creating pain in people.
It's like a type of neuro, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it's that.
Yeah.
So, you know, now it's a whole out battle. Ollie's eating souls, funneling power to her bonds. And then Davies shows up.
So they have a confrontation. He basically goes up to her and starts he puts her hands around her neck and starts choking her out. And it's not looking good for a man for a hot second.
It's not looking great. Looks like Davies is gonna win, but then Knox comes in, saves Ollie, and kills Davies. Knox kills Davies, right?
So Davies is finally fucking gone.
Now, wouldn't that mean the end of the book, the head honcho of the resistance is dead? All of a sudden, some mon gifted person arrives.
What the fuck? Senator Oldham is here?
Senator Oldham?
The fuck?
The fuck are you doing here? What are you doing here? Get out.
Yeah.
This is gifted. This is a gifted issue.
Immediately, she starts to talk, and they know something's wrong, because basically, something has possessed her, and she's like, you thought you were gonna win this, so you're not ready for what I've got coming. She's a god.
It's a god bond. In Senator Oldham.
Oh shit.
Oldham.
What is that pronounced? Like, if your last name was Oldham, would you I think I would pronounce it
Oldham.
But it's Oldham. That makes me wonder, like, the ancestry and the, like, of the name.
I think I've heard it both ways. I think it's regional.
But, no, it makes me wonder, like, who created that name? Was it a ham seller?
Possibly.
And they're like, no, don't go to that seller. He only sells old ham.
Why would you take that on as your name?
I don't know.
Maybe it was a street.
I don't think so. I'm going to believe it was his ancestor.
We'll look up the origins for next episode.
Sold old ham. Maybe it was. Right. Maybe it's a positive. Like, old ham is good. It means it was, like, cured and salted really well. Like, aged old ham. Anyway.
I'm
going
to guess it means nothing. It has nothing to do with ham.
It could. It could, bro. It could. Anyway, whatever. You hater. So, you know, God bond's out now. Surely everything's parties and flowers and roses. Nope. The last line, or one of the last lines, is, I know nothing but pain as the darkness takes me. The God bond attacks Ollie.
Yeah, that was the last line.
Now, are we going to have a repeat of last book? Is she dead and someone's going to bring her back? Is it, like, what's going on? What's going on? Right. What's happening?
We know she was weak because she was funneling power to the other bonded.
Yes.
So, my thoughts, I've already read the book, but I don't remember.
No, same.
I would think, like, if I was just reading this, that maybe she, I don't think that the Senator Oldham bitch could take down all of them, you know? So,
yeah.
I would think maybe she tried to take Ollie or something.
Yeah.
But would be unsuccessful.
I don't even, honestly, I have read the last book. I don't remember what the God Bond was doing.
I don't either.
Because I don't remember if the God Bond is stronger than Ollie.
Yeah. We'll have to get into that next book.
Yeah.
We'll have to find out ourselves.
Yeah, we'll have to rediscover what we've already read, but have since forgotten.
Ever been there? Sure have.
Sure have.
Well, that it's was the time. End. And oh, yeah, we have to do ratings.
It's time for ratings. So I think if we're recapping, we gave the first book a 4 and the rest of the books a 5.
Okay.
This book...
Okay.
I don't know. It's hard.
My first thoughts are, I really liked the Knox storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Finally being told.
Yes, me too.
But I do feel, and I said this before, that, like, it's still very repetitive in terms of what's going on. And I mean that by, like,
yeah.
Come to a camp, destroy somebody. But there is more revealed. Like, the God Bonds are starting to wake up. But I guess, like, the background noise is a little bit repetitive. But then you have, like, mm-hmm. these new features that are happening in between.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, like, I thought there were exciting parts to it when I first read it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I would give it a 4.
I think I'm going to give it a 4 as well. I know the last couple book I gave 5s. But again, like, what you're saying, it's like this book starting to get repetitive. Mm-hmm. There's not a ton. Like, there is new information, but it doesn't feel like a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like... I think the best thing about enemies to lovers is, like, the tension of it. And now it's gone.
Right.
So it's like, okay, y'all are all happy and loving and whatever. Okay, whatever. Like,
and I totally respect her writing because, like, when I went back to skim through it,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the material, like, I want to say, like, over half of the book is really, like, dialogue and... you know, being funny and, like, you know, like, them interacting with each other. It's not really the plot is the main point.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it really fun to read. But I will say that I think that this series could have been done as a trilogy.
Yeah.
If they wanted to be really quick about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love that it's 6 books just because I love the content. I absolutely agree. It could have been condensed a little bit better. But kind of like what you said, like... because it's been a hot minute mm-hmm. since I've read this book. I love the, like, banter between the characters. I love the little dialogues.
Yeah.
The, like, I don't know. It's great. It's, like, this is not, like, a literary genius book. It's just, it's a really great, like, guilty pleasure, I think.
I like also that there's a book for each bonded in her group.
Yes.
Which is cool.
It's cute.
And then, because each cover, right?
Oh my god, the cover alone, they're all so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, that was the thing that first drew me to these books. I was just scrolling through Kindle Unlimited and saw the first book, which is Ollie and the Skull.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, that's so cool. And down the rabbit hole I went.
Yeah, and same. Well, and it's fun because this is my first reverse harem.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Welcome to the reverse harem.
I know.
What are you thinking?
They're fun. It's fun.
It's good.
It's fun because you introduce a lot of different personalities. And, like, it can get boring, like you said, because when the tension's gone. But then when you have it, you can have it multiple times.
I know. You have the tension with five dudes. It's great.
And you don't
I
have to break
it.
Up with the other four.
Exactly. You could just live life.
And they're all
love.
Devoted to you.
Woo. Yes. What I would give. But actually, in reality, like, if it was socially acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously, I think, even, of course, there's, like, poly couples out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, like, a very socially accepted thing. I think even if it was a socially accepted thing, I could barely deal with one boy, you know?
Yeah, it would really be a trial, like, kind of thing. I feel like I would try it out and see, because, like, another thing about being an introvert is that socializing and juggling relationships is hard.
Yes.
It's exhausting, even though, and I feel like I'm really rewarded with, like, a few really close relationships, not a lot of superficial ones.
Me too.
So it would be tough.
And it's nice because I think both of us, like, we're the readers and our partners are the video gamers.
Yeah.
So it's so fucking amazing because they game and I read and we are alone, but, like, be alone in the same room together.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, even Ollie, like, mentions that, like, dealing with five boys is a lot.
Yeah. And because they have their own interpersonal drama with each other.
Yeah.
At times.
And then it's, like, it makes you think of, like, Sister Wives. I've never actually seen the show, same. But I've seen, like, clips of it. And it's like, then how do you manage, like, the jealousy between partners?
Absolutely.
And I think Ollie and the Bond group, of course, does a really good job of it, but not everyone does.
It makes a lot more sense with this world because it is something that's expected with the gifted community.
Yeah.
So jealousy is not really in their DNA, but in our society where it's supposed to be two people monogamous, you know, it's like the jealousy is almost ingrained in our brains, like, to happen. So it's like you'd have to be so like sure of yourself and secure to really get past that. I think
it's very interesting because I'll see, like, on TikTok or social media, like, people who are in a monogamous relationship who then invite a third person like after they've been married for a long time, but it's like, I think it is, like, they're both dating that person and not just, like, the husband or the wife is
just
dating,
like, bisexual
them. But it's really interesting.
Yeah, that
is, like,
interesting.
How that dynamically works. Because I feel like it would feel almost weird being the new person into this, like, really established relationship. But then is it weird for, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting.
It's very interesting.
It is very interesting.
No hate. I'm not a hater. I'm not a judger. You do you.
No, I love different things. Like,
I love it too.
Same is boring.
Same is boring.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. Like, there's more to the world out there than just monogamy.
Yeah.
As we can see in this book.
Well, stay tuned for the last fucking book of the series.
Last book, Unbroken Bonds.
Unbroken Bonds.
Book 6 of 6.
Yeah. All right. Later, hoes.
See ya, bitches.